We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tony, let's go.
How about Tony? How well he handled that whole thing?
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Tressman was brought here to score points offensively, and they did. Right. He had other problems. This coach was brought here to make the offense go, and it hasn't done anything.
Damn. So remember how we were all making the Tressman comp? It's actually worse. It's worse. Let me give you the numbers again, because it might have gone by you. 8 of the 11 games this year, they haven't scored 20 points. 16 of the 28 games under Matt Nagy, they haven't scored 20 points. Let it sink in. Go. It's okay. It's okay. Let it sink in for just a second what that is and what that offense looks like.
Remember your feelings with Tressman after he was done.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than that on offense now.
It's worse.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
One more time. Yeah, this is Tony's last day of EPing here at The Score because he has got himself a fancy new job over at NBC Sports Chicago, and he's going to start that in a week. So he's got this show. Can you talk? Because earlier today when I got in, you weren't able to talk.
It's feeling a lot better. I haven't said much words since the last time we talked, just so I could save up.
All right, good. Because I wanted you to save. It's not because he's emotional. It's because he's hacking up a lung. I had to go get him Ricola and honey so that he could hang out and talk with you people one more time here on The Score. Stop doing so many interviews.
I got to do one today on Grody with Grody and Will.
Well, see, there it is. And that's what the struggle is. All right. This is a Built for Tough Bears Monday on a Friday on The Score. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We are breaking down the Bears game, but Matt Nagy is at the podium. He's ready to go, Tony. All right. Let's hear from the Bears head coach on their win.
All right. Well, in regards to from yesterday, I just going back watching all the tape. You're number one. I'm proud of our guys battling through a short week on the road, division game, and then we get battle tested throughout the game with some adversity. But in the end, I think they just showed who we are, who they are, and it's always nice to come out with a win. So now we have a normal week here, prepping for the Cowboys.
Describe what it is you felt in the locker room afterwards and what that was for you guys.
Yeah, you just, when we talk about enjoying that 5 to 7 minutes after a game, after a win, when you win, one thing is we never want it, you don't want it to be scripted. So we know we have it when we win. And there's some that guys are just so exhausted after a game that it's hard to celebrate too much or dance. But yesterday you just could kind of feel like, you know, through everything that we've been through this year, it's a different year, and that's okay. But what we've been through, and then just the way yesterday went, going down to the final play, it's exhausting mentally and physically. And so you're on a short week, you know, you have lack of sleep, you have lack of energy. But I knew from the start of the game, I knew in the locker room pregame, I could tell our guys were laser focused. It was different. Last year felt different in the locker room pregame. It was coming off a night game. But so going back to your original question, you could just feel just an organic fun, organic fun.
You always talk about having, with Mitch, you've always talked about having a next play mentality. Yesterday was the best example of the way that you want him to handle it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he showed it yesterday. There's several times. I said it where after the interception, he comes back and he's throwing completions. And then if there was, you know, we were behind the chains a little bit, and he never let that rattle him. He made conviction throws. So overall, there's always a couple plays here or there, but overall, yesterday's probably a great example of all year long of him coming back with the next play mentality.
After the second deep throw to Anthony, it looked like Mitch almost wanted to just run to the line and maybe because he didn't want them to challenge it, and then it seemed like there was some personnel coming on. There was some confusion. It didn't matter at the end, but what kind of happened?
Yeah, so there was – it's so far in the corner where that happened that there was a little hesitation. It's such a big play. You don't want to lose that. So do you go hurry up and try to run so you don't lose that gain? But then we confirmed it that we were good. So now we're going ahead, and we went to a big personnel with bigger guys. So there's Anthony's celebrating. He's happy he made a big play. But yet now there's a personnel change, and so we're getting that going. And then – I still need to go back and see the part of the referee standing there right at the snap for that long, you know, for Mitch to not snap it. I got to check that out. But, you know, I could have easily called a timeout there and saved it, but we didn't. We felt very comfortable with our plus five package in the red zone. So it actually sounds crazy, but losing some yards there doesn't really hurt you in some ways. That's, you know, there's some plays that we like, and you saw that yesterday.
What do you like about Mitch's decision making? Not necessarily on, you know, the deep balls to Miller or the touchdown to Horsted, but just how he operated throughout the entire game.
Well, he did it on time, you know. So the decisions that he made was on time, and I think that's this offense is built on timing, and when you make the right decision on time, usually good things happen. And I think you felt that. There's a lot of plays yesterday. You know, even after the fumble that was overturned with Anthony Miller, the next play we hit A-Rob over the middle. That's just an example. When you go back and watch that, you'll see that's the timing of this offense. When you throw the ball three hitch throw and they popped the zone on us and he threw it to the right guy in zone, it's hard to stop.
And what do you think has unlocked Anthony Miller the last few weeks?
Well, he's getting more opportunities for sure. Now, with all that said, right, we want to make sure that we're still honing in on the details. And so numbers wise, you know, he's done a good job, but we can all still improve in some areas. And he knows that. And that's going to be important here moving forward, that we make sure that regardless of a stat line, that we make sure that on every play, we're doing the right thing all the time.
Matt Nagy's press conference after the Bears win over the Lions. You're listening to it right here on The Score.
It was one of the worst first halves he's played all year. He was upset about fumble/incompletion. Is that part of what?
Not necessarily. I mean, he probably is hanging a lot on that on the fumble or whatever. But I think for the most part, when you go back and watch, there's going to be some of this that goes on with more opportunities. There's more stuff going your way, so. It's just a matter of numbers, but I know he can get. I know he can be more detailed, and he will. And I have all the trust in Coach Furry and Allen Robinson being a great mentor, and so that's what we're striving for is perfection there in regards to details.
Where are you in? Akeem Hicks can return to practice this week, can he not?
Yes, he can.
Where are you guys with that?
Well, I hope that's what our focus is. We're hoping that he's able to come back this week and start practicing. So that's kind of the goal.
Physically. Can he get through a practice?
That I don't know. Yeah. You know, yeah. We'll. I guess we'll see.
What would that mean if he is able to come back for that Packer week?
It'd be huge. I mean, you. Anytime you have a guy that is the type of player he is, the type of leader he is, what he's meant. I like the way he's really handled himself here in the last whatever it is 7-8 weeks. He's done a great job at being around and being a great teammate and a leader and mentor to all these younger guys. So it's exciting when you get to this point and. It does feel like forever ago, but hopefully we can get that moving forward.
I know you're focused on the Cowboys, but I'm sure you're also aware of the rest of the schedule. And this last month has always been considered the toughest part of your schedule.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if you feel it's fair to say that this the way this season has gone, this last stretch will be a real good litmus test of where you're at and where you're headed.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. You know where we stand, and everyone starts getting to the what ifs. But you know, we just feel like it's been such a unique year to us with everything and where we've been, and losing four in a row, and now winning three out of the last four. That's been a challenge, and we know what's ahead of us. But we can't you know, we can only control what goes on Thursday night. And so, and we understand too that Dallas is in a very similar situation. And so, you know, both of us being 6-6, having an opportunity to play at home is going to be fun.
Usually when you're for David to average 4.7 yards per carry, mm-hmm. what did you see in the running game when he was carrying the ball?
Yeah, you know what? You could just feel our offensive linemen getting to the second level, good angles with their blocks. David was running hard. I mean, he was breaking tackles. He had a 14 or 15 yard run that got called back. His average might have been even higher, and he might have got close to cracking 100 yards with a couple penalties that we had. But you felt that. I felt it as a play caller. You felt like you were getting to 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, more than 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8, and that's a credit to our offensive line.
There's one play with Montgomery on the touchdown drive where he kind of got to the line, almost kind of stopped, and it looked like he put his right hand on Coward, and then like a hole opened up and he hit that. What do you just like about his vision
yeah.
on that play specifically?
Yeah, we always talk about it's not speed to the hole, but speed through the hole. So there's patience getting there. And then once you get there, now you got to feel, okay, where's the defense going? And you react off of that. And he has a nice burst right there. And so early on in the game, he had one where he ran it in the middle, he froze, and then he busted it to the right. That might be the one you're talking about. Down in the red zone. And so I just think that David has a really, really good vision. He has great feel for where defenders are going to be. And then when they get there, he does a great job of breaking tackles. It has good contact balance.
Matt, whether it's what Anthony did down the stretch, whether he misses on the final drive, or even the tackle that Kyle made to save the touchdown, what's the value for the group at large of game-winning play?
Right. Yeah, I think that's huge, Dan. So a couple things. So we talk about Anthony and some getting better at some details. But the thing I love about Anthony is that he plays with extreme passion. He's ultra talented. Those two catches and plays that he made with those throws that Mitch made at that moment on third downs says a lot about who those guys are and how they're growing together, Anthony and Mitch. And that's big. So he took the high angle on the first one, the first third and four. He took it high, caught it on the left side. Mitch made a great throw, and he had to make the catch. Guy played pretty good coverage. The second one down towards the goal line was another one, tracking that ball and trying to find it. Two big moments for those guys. Kyle's tackle was a game changer. You know, being able to make that play. It was a one-on-one tackle that they set up for. They knew they were going to have the corner on the running back, and Kyle just got enough to make them trip up and fall and keep them to 3 instead of 7. So that part was huge. Then you take it to the offense. And I think the last drive that the offense had down and starting with a 5-yard penalty, basically going 95 yards to win the game or help win the game. I don't know where we'll look back. I don't know where this is going to go in the next 4 weeks. I don't know. But if it goes well, you could look to that drive.
To that point, Matt, of all the good things that happened yesterday, what's your favorite indicator of a foundation thing that you can use that will work against good teams, bad teams, whatever, that you know that's really useful heading into this last stretch?
Probably just the balance, and then we had one drive in there, that fourth drive where we went backwards with penalties, 1st and 32. Take that one out yesterday. I hate to say, and I wish it wasn't always, there's going to be one or two series in there where you're going to have a 3-and-out. And we had a couple of those, and then we had that 15-yard. We had the penalty fest, but being able to get to that 2nd and 5, I think, and stay ahead of the chains is so important to this offense. And however we do that, whether it's running the ball, throwing the ball, screens, movements, play actions, it doesn't matter. Get to 2nd and 5. When you do that, you have we're putting ourselves in a position to move the football in other ways. And I think when we get behind and it's 2nd and 9, that's when you've seen us struggle.
You said yesterday that the one negative was the penalties, and you just mentioned the one drive that you got pushed back. But it seemed like throughout the entire game, when you did commit a penalty, you overcame it, whether it was the 2 15-yarders of defense, the one in the last drive. I think there was a block in the back on the Horsted drive.
Yeah.
What does that say about the team that you're able to do that consistently throughout that game where you didn't allow a penalty to ruin a drive?
Yeah. So, first of all, as far as the defense goes, the late hit by Leonard Floyd that gives them 1st and goal at the 9, I was proud of our defense for holding them there to 3 points. That's a big deal there. So that was great. And then just for the rest of our offense, there's some There's some tough ones there that we had where we had to overcome it. And I think the fact that they did overcome it, we had the long one there, first and 32, and we get to fourth and six. You want to be able to make that fourth and six. But in any case, I just go back to let's not have the penalties. You know, that's the biggest. Let's not plan on having penalties. Let's get better there. So that's where we got to improve.
You look, at the first drive, and you get it in the end zone.
Yeah.
You obviously had the great starting field position. What else stood out to you that clicked that you hadn't been?
Well, that's another key point is the starting field position. So, you know, Cordero is 9 yards deep in the end zone, and it's hard to cover a kickoff twice. So they kick it, he catches it 9 yards deep and takes it to, you know, midfield. That's a key element, field position. So the last couple of games we've been behind the sticks on offense with field position. To start right there, you don't need as many first downs, and you're already in a good position. So I think that part helped out.
Matt, Mitch took a couple shots.
I'll come back.
Did he – I know he got checked out at one point. Did he come home okay with no
– Yes, he did. You know, there were some good shots in that game. So, you know, he's tough, though. He's a tough kid, and, you know, it is definitely hard to see sometimes. Go ahead.
Mitch has been so good against the Lions. What did you see that can apply to everybody?
Yeah.
Versus just that matchup really being good for him?
Probably, you know, the biggest thing is just the confidence that you felt from him making conviction throws, you know, and then just the one interception that occurred, you never felt like, you know, here, you know, something bad's going to happen next. But you didn't feel that on the sideline, and he came back and just started firing away, and guys were making plays. The run game was going. I just think that regardless of who our opponent is, you know, sometimes players play better against some opponents. But I said last night, three games, it's really been four games. After yesterday, it's been four games now that Mitch has really stacked some strong games together with decision-making. And then, again, others have stepped up, and we've got – a nice balance going, and can it improve? Yes, absolutely. But we like what we did yesterday.
All right, that's Matt Nagy at Hallis Hall. You know what I wish he would stop doing? I wish he would – the hyperbole. Like, if you want to say that Mitch played three good games, okay, but then you don't have to then extend. And they scored 7 points against the Rams. And I know that the scoring isn't the only thing that you can judge a quarterback on, but you scored 7 points. So just be happy with the way that he played because he balled out yesterday. But be cool. Like, it's not some referendum on what he is as a – I just wish he would just calm down. Like, put the gas away just a little bit.
I think that's his thing. I think that's what he does to boost up his players before this – recent game, you know, what he said about Khalil Mack. He's more dominant this year than he was last year. Like, I don't know what it is, but that's him. That's what he does.
But you could actually make an argument for because Akeem Hicks is out, Mack is getting doubled and triple teamed. It's not a great argument, and it's not one that Khalil actually subscribes to. But come on, man. Like, we saw the games. We saw the games. All right. This segment's being brought to you by Subway Restaurants, where they feature 6-inch subs for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras, plus applicable tax, no additional discounts or coupons may be applied. We need to take a break. When we come back, I am going to talk about how well Mitchell Trubisky played, and I'm going to explain to you why, and why I hope other coaches are as dumb as the one the Bears took on yesterday. Do that next here on The Score.
Mitch fakes the toss to Cohen, lobs it to Horsted, over the shoulder, catch for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears! Beautifully executed play call. And the rookie, the Ivy Leaguer, with his first NFL touchdown on Will Harris of Boston College. Perfectly placed, over the shoulder, concentration. Hopefully the replay won't wipe it out.
The replay did not wipe it out. Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer on the call on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. This is my normal spot. I figured, you know, after the Bears game, we might as well just talk about it. Works out great. Plus, it's Tony's last day as executive producer before he moves on to his new gig. I get a comp day out of it. And why not talk about what the Bears did yesterday, getting themselves to 6-6 on the season? I know that there are a lot of people who will be like, well, it doesn't mean anything. Okay. It's fine for you to have planted your flag and the season is over. And now you're watching the rest of these games, hoping, praying that you'll be right. And then having that backup of being happy if they actually make the playoffs. It's a win-win for you. What I say is that until it's over, it's not over. And it's over if they lose one more game. But for them as a team, they have to look at this as an opportunity to prepare. You got a Dallas team that's on the ropes, man. That thing is getting ready to blow. The Bears have a chance. And that's all. If you've heard me over the last 5 weeks, I've talked about just giving yourself another week. Now, they've eliminated that margin for error. And 10-6 might not even get them into the playoffs. But they bought themselves another week. Yes, it was a third-string quarterback that lit your ass up in the first half. How'd that feel? Like, Tony, were you sitting there like, really? This guy?
I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. The Bears defense is going to perform like the Bears offense this season. The Bears offense is going to outperform the defense this time, and it's not going to matter, and they're going to lose to Curtis Blow.
No, not Curtis Blow. It's David Blau, like Mr. Plow. I was impressed by him. And obviously, the league is going to get tape, and you're going to be able to take some of the stuff away. And the Bears did a good job adjusting as the game went on. But you talk about a guy that didn't look scared. He didn't look scared. The moment didn't look too big for him. He looked like he was in command. He was doing some cool stuff, too. He was identifying blitz packages, sliding protections from one side to the other, and then making plays.
All the things that Mitch should be doing. But, if we can talk about that.
No, we're going to talk about how good Mitch was. I want to give him his props. Like, we kill this guy, and we should, because his play has been uneven, and that's being kind. But he balled out yesterday, and I'm actually not surprised, because he does well against man defenses, and specifically Matt Patricia, who primarily plays man, and they dressed up some stuff yesterday to try and confuse Mitch, but it's still primarily a man defense. I'm going to read off to you Mitch's numbers against Matt Patricia, who primarily plays man defense. Last year in November, 23 of 30, 335 yards. He completed 77% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, passer rating 148.6. Earlier this year, November 10th, 16 of 23 for 173 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, completed 70% of his passes, passer rating 131.0. And then yesterday, 29 of 38, 76.3 completion percentage, 338 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. The interception was bad. Darius Slay went under the route, made a great play on it on a ball that probably should have been out a little bit earlier to get it there. So what does that add up to? That adds up to 68 of 91. In the 3 games that Mitch has played against Detroit, 68 of 91, 846 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, a passer rating of 132.2. Don't stop believing. Woo! But only if coaches are dogmatic about it. We play man, and that's what we do. We're just going to do it. On Wednesday, I talked with Jeff Rieger, who's one of my counterparts at WXYT in Detroit. And I asked him, because I threw the numbers at him, and I was like, there's no reason why the Lions should play man. And if they do play man against Mitch, he's going to tear them apart. Here's what Rieger said about that.
Well, first of all, I love the rocket scientist thing. I do. I don't think he likes it, but I love it. You know, there is this ongoing joke in Detroit that you got to keep Matt Patricia employed so the Rockets stay safe. Because you don't want that man around the Rockets. Because if he gets fired, he might go back to being a rocket scientist. But I'm with you. Because it's almost like Matt Patricia saw what worked in New England. and he's tried to bring everything over to Detroit, from the sayings on the wall to the hill they built in practice to run sprints on. I mean, everything's the Patriot way. His GM, he's an ex-Patriot as well. Apparently, Quinn and Patricia used to sit in the back room at meetings when they were in New England, and everybody knew one day they were scheming to, you know, take over an NFL team. It's like Pinky in the Brain, right? But I'm totally with you, because Patricia is so damn stubborn. And he's seen over the course of the season that his man coverage and rush three, where nobody gets home and quarterbacks have enough time to make a ham sandwich, doesn't work. And you would think it would be pretty eye-opening, as you mentioned with Mitchell Trubisky, that, oh, I don't know, he stinks against everybody else, but he throws three touchdowns against the Lions. Maybe it changed things up. But he doesn't believe that. He believes the scheme works. He believes that if he doesn't have the players for that scheme, he's just going to pretty much force them into position. And that's what Darius Slay and Quandre Diggs, a couple of Lions, now one a former Lion playing for the Seahawks, have said. So I think he is set in his ways, and that's why you see what he sees, what you see. And it makes absolutely zero sense, and we've been dealing with it all season long, and that's the main reason why people want this man gone.
And you saw it play out yesterday. Mitch looked at these mismatches and was like, I can make some plays. Anthony Miller was really, really good yesterday. Like, that's the type of performance that you were hoping to see from him kind of earlier in the year. But if you go into a situation where you're playing man, there's not a lot that we can point to at Mitch and be like, Mitch is great at blank. There's some things that I think that he's pretty good at. There's some things that I wish that Matt Nagy would let him do more of. And over the last couple of weeks, I think that we've seen that. He's great against man coverage. And if you don't have a pass rush, here's the thing about that. If your pass rush is good, you can get away with some of this. It has to be married to a pass rush that's going to put pressure on the quarterback. And then you're going to have chances for an underthrow or being not on time and then picking the ball off. But if you don't have a pass rush that consistently gets home, if you're giving a quarterback 4 seconds, any quarterback can make you pay if he has receivers that are good. And the Bears have at least one receiver that we would consider good to elite in Allen Robinson, and flashes from the rest of that crew. He can throw a ball up to Allen Robinson and watch him make a play. Anthony Miller can run a crossing route and end up in a position to make a big play. By the way, Miller, 9 catches yesterday, 140 yards. Robinson, 8 catches yesterday, 86 yards and a touchdown. They even used David Montgomery in the passing game. It's crazy. And it's like you see it, and there's a real... That's what bothers me about football coaches, specifically NFL coaches. There's an easy remedy to the problem that is in front of you. But because you're so married to whatever it is that you grew up doing in the game or your vision for what it is, that you're not adaptable and you're not looking at the data and going, you know who's bad against zone coverages? The quarterback we're going to play tomorrow. Let's run man.
I'm going to do it again.
I'm going to bleep and do it again. He's a meme. That's what you saw. And Mitch made them pay. And I was sitting there going, make them pay, man. They're going to keep showing you this stuff? Kill them. And Mitch did. You want to talk about the next 4 weeks? You want to talk about the possibility of the Bears running the table? I don't know. I got some ideas about it, though. And I'll tell you this. We'll take a timeout, but I'll tell you this. When we looked at this in September, it looked way different than it looks now. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Feels like we just went out and did their job. It felt good to win, and we put ourselves in a good position for next week. I know me, myself, and this team, I think we're just hungry at this point to continue to get that feeling that you feel after you win. And we just need to keep that hunger and just continue to get better and find ways to grow. So we're getting closer, but we're not there yet.
Tyrese, Fast and the Furious 2. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We're going to talk with Big Ann Heron coming up at 1. We are talking Bears because it's a built for tough Bears Monday on a Friday because the game was yesterday. It's all messed up. They also play Thursday next week, too. But at least it'll be Thursday night. Hey, contractors, the trade deadline is come and gone, but at SupplyHouse.com, you can still boost your stock with Trade Tuesday. On Tuesday, December 3rd, go to SupplyHouse.com for pro size discounts on all plumbing, heating, and HVAC products you need for your business or home. Stock up for the season during our best sale of the year. Take it to the house, SupplyHouse.com. So, obviously, when I brought up the last four games of the season, there is always the guy that jumps out of, how do you think they can run the table? You know, I've been watching. I actually don't think that they can run the table. But here's my issue. My issue is that you're looking at it as a block of four games. Like, all four games are going to happen simultaneously. And what I'm trying to get you to do is look at it. I'll use the cliche. Go ahead and have it ready, Tony. This is a week-to-week league. And the reason that I bring it up is that if we go to September and we look at the back end of the Bears schedule, you're like, man, the fact they got to play Dallas and Green Bay and Kansas City and Minnesota is, man, that's four really good teams. The Bears are probably going to be in trouble. Hopefully they have their playoff spot locked up before you get to that point. Well, that didn't happen. And now the Bears are going to have to run through these four teams to have an outside shot of being a playoff team.
They're still in the hunt picture. I saw it.
They actually moved.
Mm-hmm.
They're behind the Rams now in the hunt. And that's why that game really hurts. Because it would be a much easier argument to make had you won that game and you were sitting here at 7-5 instead of 6-6. But if we just think about it, if you looked at each one of these four teams, there's an argument to be made that the Bears can beat them each week. You watched Dallas yesterday. Does that team scare you? Their talent is scary. It's a much better quarterback that you're going to play, but they're in free fall right now as an organization. The coach doesn't know if he's going to keep coaching, even though the owner and president and general manager, it's all one guy, has said that he's going to coach till the end of the year. They look out of sync offensively, and they have for the last two games. One of those is easy to write off. It was terrible in New England. The weather was bad. Even the Patriots didn't look good. Yesterday, though, can't write that off. Can't write off that performance against Buffalo yesterday. Buffalo's going to the playoffs, man.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, Buffalo might be real.
How about that? Yep. They're going to go to the playoffs this year. It's crazy. Then let's look at the Packers. I think the Packers are better than the Bears. I think they're a better overall team than the Bears. But I think the Packers are fraudulent.
That defense is not what you saw at the beginning of the year.
That's right.
It's progressively gotten worse as time has gone on.
And we thought that Aaron Rodgers at this point would be really comfortable in the offense, and he's still not as comfortable as you would have imagined that he was going to be at this point. Then you go to the Chiefs. And you're like, well, what about the Chiefs? It's Patrick Mahomes. Right. But Patrick Mahomes, since the injury, he's been good, but he's also been human. He needed a superhuman effort in the game against Tennessee to lose by 3 points. And then against the Chargers, he wasn't very good. And then Minnesota. Guess who has Minnesota's number? For some reason, Matt Nagy has the Vikings' number. For some reason, the Bears defense knows how to completely mess Kirk Cousins up. So, yes, it is a big thing that I'm saying. But it's not crazy that if you look at each of these individual four games, it's not crazy. Whereas 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, if we were having the discussion about the last four games, it would seem crazy to think that the Bears would have a chance. But all they have to do, All the Bears have to do right now is beat Dallas. That's it. They don't have to look at the other three games on the schedule. Just beat Dallas. And I disagree with Matt Nagy. Dallas is not in the same situation that you're in, because they could end up being 8-8 and still win the NFC East. So they've got their path, even with a loss to you, they've got their path to the playoffs right in front of them. They control their own destiny, so to speak.
Yeah. Now Bears fans got to hope that Philly wins that division outright.
Right. And get that, then you don't have to worry about tiebreaker stuff with them because you lost to them. Get them out of the way. Let them win the division. Someone asked me, well, should I be rooting for Seattle or Minnesota? Seattle, because you still play the Vikings. So you want them to get as many losses as possible, and you can add to the losses and have a tiebreaker against them. Because you're not catching Seattle, I don't think. I don't think you're going to catch them. You're too far behind with too few games left to go. I'm not trying to gas you up, and I'm not here saying they're going to do it. All I'm saying is that 3 weeks ago, there was no argument for this. Now there is an argument because of other things that have happened throughout the league and where the Bears find themselves. And if they need to use the hope of the carrot of a playoff berth to get themselves ready for Thursday, so be it. I'm here for it. You know why? Because I want December to at least be interesting. And a win against Dallas? First of all, it's already the first week in December is already going to be interesting because you could say what you want about how you don't care about the Bears and I don't believe in this team. Your ass is going to be right on the couch Thursday night with your Dick Butkus jersey on, with your Walter Payton jersey on, with your dog named Cutler or whatever it is, watching the Bears going, man, what if they win? So you can text here all big and bad until the game actually starts. And then you'll be like, man, Dak Prescott's not that good. He is better than what we saw yesterday. But David Blau, man, impressive stuff. So just keep that in mind. You can look at it as a block of four. And as a block of four with winning a couple of games, it's like, are they really going to win six in a row? But if you look at it from week to week, an argument can be made.
There's still hope for the team overall this season. But again, my narrative has already been written for the quarterback. I'm good on that in terms of extension and all of that.
That's problematic. Tony, thing. That's the problematic part.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nagy had already started yesterday. Oh, my God, there's a special performance. You see why Mitch is so special. And you're like, be cool.
No, they've already got it in their heads they're extending him. They're going to point to specific games. They're not going to look at overall seasons. They're going to point to specific games and go, look at this potential. Look at what he did here. Look at this. This is why we have to give him the $24 million.
Christopher, that's what I'm saying.
That's my only fear. It's
cool already, they're already doing it.
Interesting football games is late, but
you're saying you'd rather the Bears lose so that they don't have issue?
It makes their decision a lot easier. If they win, it clouds their judgment on what is actually happening.
It just adds to their already decided mind that it just reinforces what their decision has already been made.
I agree that there is some danger in them falling for the banana in the tailpipe. And I already have seen an indicator of it the way that Matt Nagy talked about Mitch yesterday.
Don't do it. McVay attached himself to Jared Goff the same way. Don't do it.
You are 100% right about that. And maybe that is a reason to root against the Bears so that you have the losing season and confirmation. Like, it becomes clear. But look, I don't think that the other four teams are going to play man. I don't. I think they're going to zone it up. And that's where Mitch struggles. But if one of them does, if one of them is silly as Matt Patricia is with that, they can get a win. All they have to do is beat Dallas. I'm going to talk with Anthony Heron about what they did right and what they did wrong next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.